because I know that next week we got a pretty full schedule. So he said, you should preach your Christmas message today. Amen. But then I thought about it. I said, but Lord, it ain't my Christmas message. He said, well, you're right. It's my Christmas message that I want you to deliver to the people today. Amen. So what he wanted me to do is speak about when the shepherds meet. Amen. When the shepherds meet. I'll start out by talking a little bit about Bible study that we went through on Tuesday night. We went through the 23rd Psalms where we were speaking of David, and he was saying that the Lord is my shepherd. And getting some insight into what David was speaking about and how David knew to use these words and how David had this kind of insight, because David was a shepherd. Amen? So he knew the work of a shepherd. And Jesus Christ is our shepherd. And one thing that happened when Christ was born, there were shepherds involved. Amen? So when we look at Luke, the second chapter, starting at the 8th verse, 8 through 20, it talks about the shepherds. And in my research, I looked at a couple of different versions of the Bible to get where the Lord wanted me to go today. But for some reason, he took me back to the old King James Version, because there's some words that are used in there that have a totally different meaning than the words in the other translations of the Bible. So today, I'm going to go back to the King James Version and read those verses. If you can, turn your Bibles to Luke, the second chapter, and we're going to start at verse 8. The scripture says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angel were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all they had heard wondered at the things they were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. So today, I want to challenge you for the first time to listen to this message that I have to give about these scriptures. I want you to revisit it, because we always hear the story of the shepherds. We always hear the story about Mary. We always hear the story about Jesus being born in a manger. But I want you to wipe the slate clean. Because I want to point out some things to you today that in just reading it over and over and over every year. I'm not going to tell you how many years old I am, but for every year that I've heard it, I just kind of read it over and over and over and over again. So my years are more than over and over and over and over again. So there's many times that I've read it over and over and over again, but I have yet to get the understanding that I now have. And the Lord wants me to impart this understanding to you today. Amen. These are shepherds that got the message that Jesus Christ was born. Now, to understand the shepherds of those days, they were the lowest of the low. Come on, somebody. They were the lowest of the low. So when God decided to send an announcement, the announcement came to the form of the lowest of the low. It came to the people that were being despised, the shepherds. Now, shepherds are around animals all day long, so I don't know if they had porta potties out there at that time. I don't know if they had showers that they could readily go to at that time. As a matter of fact, these shepherds were not even welcome to go into service, to go into the temple. But these are the people that God decided, I want you to go see, and I want you to announce the coming of my son, Jesus the Christ. These shepherds were ordinary men. They were not the elite of society. Amen? Today, I would like you to think about when shepherds meet, because these shepherds met the greatest shepherd of all time. But when they met him, he was just a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Amen? When these shepherds met the shepherds of their soul, their lives would change forever. And this is the most important message of Christmas, that when you meet the shepherd, that your life should be changed forever. The Bible says that these shepherds were out in the fields at night watching their flock. Amen? For them, it was just another ordinary, boring night. We have a lot of ordinary, boring nights. But when God touches you and sends a message to you, that night is no longer boring. Amen? The scripture says that as an angel descended from heaven, clothed with light, the normalcy of that evening changed. So when God sends an angel to speak something to you, there is a light that should come on. It's a voice that you don't normally hear. It's something outside of the normal, amen? But the Bible said that they were sore afraid. That's why I wanted to use the King James Version, because of that word, sore afraid. It's not just so afraid. They were sore afraid. That means that they were seized with great fear. That means that they were so afraid that they wanted to run. That means that they were terrified. That's a little bit more than just being afraid, isn't it? They were sore afraid. Imagine out in the fields in the middle of nowhere at night with nothing but animals, and all of a sudden this bright light comes shining down upon you, getting ready to speak to you. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a country boy. I'm not used to being in the fields at night with nothing around me. I'm not used to being in pure darkness. I'm not used to that. But these people were used to that. But when that light shone upon them, they were sore afraid. They were terrified. Imagine how they felt when they saw and understood what they were seeing. Because the angel of the Lord came to them and realized God knew what they were feeling. Isn't that something? When God gets ready to say something to you, he already knows what you're feeling. He already knows what you're thinking. We think that we're telling God something when we pray, but he already knows what we're thinking. He already knows what it is that we're going through. These shepherds were sore afraid. This also shows that God don't respect any type of person. You know, when we have babies, we make major announcements. We want everybody to know that it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Amen? We have baby showers. We have all kind of things. We have, what do you call them? These parties where you're going to tell what gender of the baby you're going to have. Amen? We have all of those kind of parties. But God didn't have that kind of party for his son. The greatest and most important person that ever came on this earth. God didn't have that type of party because he didn't need that type of party. Matter of fact, he didn't cry out to the kings and to the queens. He went to the lowest of the low to say, I want you to give a message for me. I don't think any of us would go down to the homeless shelter and take a few guys and say, here, I want you to go and start announcing that my son or my daughter is coming. But this is what God did. God don't care who he uses. So when his son is coming, he uses the lowest of the low. I believe that God chose these shepherds because he wanted to show that his love and his grace is available to all. He doesn't show any more respect to kings than he does to us wage earners that go to work every day. I don't know about you, but when I went to work every day, some of the vice presidents and people like that, you know, the directors, it seemed like they kind of looked down at the union people and the other people coming in through the doors, like they were better than them. But God says there ain't nobody better than nobody. Amen? As a matter of fact, he told his son, I love you. And if you want to save those folks out there, then you can't be no better than them. You got to go through what they go through. And this is the beginning of the process of sending his son to go through what we go through. We have a foretaste, a beginning, a vision of what salvation was going to be. Because God gave this first message to the common folk, those that everybody else looked upon as sinners. Even if God is aware, sometimes we feel that God is not even aware that we exist. We go through some things and we say, God, do you really understand? Do you know that I'm here? I'm crying out to you? God knows that we do exist. Amen? He doesn't care and he doesn't have a more favorable opinion about anybody else than you. You can be selfish about this. You can look at one another and you can say, you know what, God loves me. And you can say it with confidence. But the person next to you can say, well, God loves me too. And God loves me just as much as he loves you. So if we have that assessment of God's love, we should not be looking down on one another. Amen? But no matter how insignificant you think that you are, God knows you and you are important to him. The Apostle Paul explains this way in his first letter to the Corinthians. He says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So if you want to know anything about me, I'm going to tell you that I'm one of the foolish things of this world. Amen? I want you to know that I'm one of the lowly things of this world. Because when people look at me, they might say, you? Yeah, me. Some of you are going around right now and you're saved, and people don't realize that you're saved. And people that you haven't seen in a while, you say, well, I go to church here and I'm a Christian, I'm saved. They turn around and say, you? You say, yeah, me. Listen to this announcement that the shepherds received. When the angels said, fear not, the Bible said that they were so afraid. But the angelic messenger suddenly appears. He says, fear not, and then he appears. Amen? When he gave the announcement, I want you to know that this is one angel. The announcement was personal. So there must have been, I don't know how many shepherds there were, but they say, unto you. That's personal. He says, unto you. He didn't say to all of you. Unto you. Today, I want you to take that message and make it personal. Because unto you, this day, unto you is born this day. That is the message from heaven, that God is interested in the individual, that he cares about you. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, he came in as the Savior of the world, but he also came to be your Savior. When I think of him dying for the sins of everybody and the sins of many, I think of him dying for my sins. I almost lose control when I think about that he died for me. He didn't die, in my opinion, you could say he died for you, but he died for me. So I make that personal. I have to have that assessment in order to have the relationship, the right relationship with Christ. Let me explain that a little further. I have to have that opinion in order to have the right relationship with Christ. Because if I just think that he just died for everybody and I don't take it personal, I might get a little jealous. I might not be as on strong for God as I should be. Because maybe I'll sit back and say, well, let one of them do it. But God has made salvation personal for me. So I take it personal. My relationship is personal. So when he asks me to do something, I don't say, well, ask one of your other children to do it. He asks me to do it. You have to make your relationship personal. To think that God Almighty would humble himself and come into this world as a helpless child so that I might be saved, so that you might be saved. The angel speaks to them about a baby, but this was not just a baby. This was a special baby. This was a baby that was identified by three special names. The message of the birth was not unusual, but the message of this birth was extraordinary because this child was different from every other child that had ever been born or would ever be born into this world. So listen to the titles that the angels gave this baby. He is called Savior. He is the one who would give his life for the sins of his people. He is the one who robed himself in his deity and humanity and came into this world to die on the cross. He is the one who would do all the sacrifices and the bloodshed in the tabernacle, and the temple could never do it anymore. Amen? Hebrews describes it this way. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering, by one bloodshed, He forever sanctified. He forever sanctified those who would be saved. He is called Christ. He is the word tells us that Christ means that he is the anointed one. That means that he is the Messiah. He is the one that is promised from the beginning in Genesis 3 and 15. He is the one predicted in all the sacrifices and all the Old Testament prophecies. He is the one God said would come. He is the one the Jews anticipated every time they offered a sacrifice and kept a feast. He is the one for whom the world waited. He is called Lord. This title identifies him as sovereign God. This little baby that is wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This little baby, he's not just a baby. He is the one who formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He is the one that controlled the paths of the planets and the galaxies. He is the one that permits the minute movements of every piece of time and instruments and dust in all of the earth and the galaxy. He is the Lord of all. Yet here he is, he's lying in Bethlehem in the form of a helpless baby. What grace, what love, what glory, what mercy. We sit here in Christmas. Our fear is that we get enough money to get gifts. Come on, somebody. Our fear is that we don't get sick over the holidays. Our fear that nobody gets mad at us. Our fear. These are our fear. But why are we fearing that? The shepherds should have feared more. But the angel said, fear not, and they believed. And as we go through things on a daily basis, God is always telling us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who also speaks to us through the Spirit that says, fear not in everything that you do, everything that you're going through. Fear not. But we need not to fear. We need to have good tidings of great joy. Why? Because the Savior was born. Scripture had been fulfilled. Christ is Lord all over. The Scripture says that he will be to all people. He will be Lord to all people. So right there, in the beginning of his birth, he's telling the angel is telling the shepherds that Christ is not just here for the Jews. He's here for all people. Everybody. All people. To be here for all people is a dispensation of grace. When we were under the law, we were those other people. We didn't have no right. Some of us know about being some other people, don't we? You know how it feels to be on the other side of the track. You know how to be the other people when people come and they look at you, they can't stand you. You know how to be those other people when people look at you, they look down on you. We were those other people. But when Christ was born, the message was given. He's here for everybody. He's here for everybody today. Don't make a difference who comes in. He's here for everybody. Because the Scripture says this is not just for a privileged few. He says, whosoever, let him come. Amen? Jesus came to pay for all the sins, whoever would respond to his message and believing in faith. Amen? But then the Scripture goes on with the shepherd, and it says, after the angel's reassurance, after they said, fear not, Okay? It says, and suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. How many times have we heard that? But I want to tell you something today. I hope you understand it differently when I break this down to you. Alrighty? All right? There was a heavenly flash. There was one angel that was saying, fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings. Amen? But then all of a sudden, there was a multitude, a heavenly host. When I say a heavenly host, I'm not talking about 50. I'm not talking about 150. I'm talking about 10,000 over 10,000 of the heavenly host proclaiming that Jesus Christ is born. It says that the sky was filled. The shepherd could see from horizon to horizon. Nothing but the heavenly host singing praises to God. Why were they singing praises to God? Because it had already begun. They didn't sing praises to God before Christ came down. They sang praises to God because Jesus Christ was born and he was here. Job said that at creation, the angels sang at the creation. The angels sang together and all the angels shouted with joy. Now they join forces again for the birth of the Savior of mankind. The angels singing did two things. They cried out for the glory to be lifted to God. When we sing praise and worship, we're not singing to entertain your ears. We're singing praises to the Lord. So if somebody's singing praise and worship or somebody's singing to the Lord and they're off key, God ain't worrying about the key. We're so worried about somebody who is making that off key sound. Listen, they're singing to the Lord. God just wants our praises, no matter what. He don't want us to be embarrassed about anything. Just praise the Lord. When the angels sing, they sing to the person or the entity, the deity that is the highest possible being that we could ever think about. They sing glory to God because it is the highest realm that is ever possible. Higher than we can even think. When they cried out for peace and goodwill towards men, by peace they meant that the peace of reconciliation to God had arrived. No, you didn't get that. I'm going to say this again. When they cried out peace and goodwill towards men, that wasn't talking about peace between men and men. It wasn't talking about peace between men and women. But it was talking about the reconciliation between man and God. So they said peace and goodwill towards all men. Amen? The good is between man and God. When that happened, the alienation from God could be changed. When that happened, the separation from God had been changed. When that happened, the struggle and divisiveness had been changed. When that happened, the restlessness, the fear caused by sin had been changed. It had been solved. When that happened, the heavenly host was praising God because he had solved the problem. There was a problem. You understand? Sin causes a problem. There was a problem. The angel said, hallelujah, Jesus. God, you solved the problem. No more alienation has to happen. No more separation. It could be love between you and man. Oh, hallelujah. The shepherds, the angels told them to go find this child in swaddling clothes. The shepherds were so excited, they said, let us go now. I want you to understand that. They said, let us go now. They didn't say, let us go tomorrow. Let me get a good night's sleep and think about it. They said, let us go now. God is going to show you something. And when he shows you something, You better get up and go now. There's no need to think about it because you don't have time to think. God in his wisdom has already figured it out for you. They said, let us now go. There was a sense of urgency. There was a sense to act now. There was a sense of haste. There was a sense of being rushed. There was a sense of being hurried. The sign to them is that they were going to find this baby lying in a manger. You know Jesus was born to poor people, right? I said he was born to poor people. They didn't have no money to go buy a room. They didn't have no money to get an air bed. They didn't have no money to go buy a blanket at Walmart. They used what they had. You see, that's another part of a story, and that's another time that I can preach on that. But you got to use what you have. Hallelujah. We waiting for more, but you got to use what you have. Because I could go back to just a crumb, but we got to use what we have. Because what God supplies is more than enough. Nobody said, I'm going to go see this Christ, so I need to take a shower. I got to go. Sometimes God tell you, you got to go. Just go. He will supply your every need. They didn't say, I don't know, we ain't got nothing to eat. They just went. They said, let's go now. Do you know there's about 365 different versions of let's go now in the Bible? That means there's one for every day. The shepherds heard the message of the angels and they reacted. When they responded to the message, it altered the course of their lives and their eternities. When you answer the call and you go now, it changes the course of your life. It also changes your eternities. Amen? Now notice, I want you to understand what they did not do. They did not sit down and debate it. They didn't sit down and analyze what they should do. They didn't say, oh, I can't afford to leave these sheep. That's my moneymaker. That's how I get paid. What happens when God tells you to leave your moneymaker? What happens when God tells you to leave your moneymaker? I'm a child of a person that God told to leave his money maker, and he did. I thought he was crazy, but the Lord provided for him and still provides for his wife. Your former bishop and former pastor. Because when God tells you to go, you better go. 6 months to a year after he left that job that he was going to be a vice president in, didn't they fold? They went out of business. Some of you are holding on to some things that's not allowing you to worship and praise the Lord and do his service. But this scripture here is telling me that God is going to make a way. And when you got to go, you better go. And you better go now. Let me tell you what they didn't do. They didn't sit around and talk and talk and talk and did more talking. They didn't do that. They could have rejected it. It could have just been a mirage. You know, maybe it was a dream. that I saw this angels and all this whole sky full of heavenly hosts singing. It wasn't real. Sometimes God tells you to do something and you convince yourself. It ain't real. It ain't real. You were shaking and trembling in the bed as you got this revelation and that God has sent you. You woke up in a cold sweat. And you decided to get up to go to the bathroom and went back to sleep, and God kept shaking you, and he wouldn't leave you alone with what he was telling you to do. You woke up tired because you've been tossing and turning all night. And then you get up in the morning and you say, that wasn't real. God wasn't talking to me. And you go on your normal way and your normal life of doing the same old thing that you've been doing, yet you want change. And you want God to bless you. The blessing was connected to the faith, in faith of what he was telling you to do. Like this birth, all right? It was unusual. It was remarkable. It was different. The shepherds could have said, you know what? That's not for me. I'm not going. I'm not available. How many times God told you to do something, you said, I'm not available. I'm not available. I'm not available. You already knew what God had planned for you to do. Matter of fact, he already told you beforehand, I want you to do this. And when the time comes, you say that you're not available. The shepherds didn't say that they wasn't available. Amen? Some people believe that this gospel, and even the things that I'm saying today, is too far-fetched. Why? Because you can't dissect it. You can't analyze it. You can't come to terms with the things that is in the Bible and what they say. They could have said, you know what? This is too far to go. It's too far for us to go to Bethlehem. I can't make it there. It might take me about a week and a half, and I'm not going to go. Amen? They didn't say that. They said, we must go now. Let's go now. Let's go now. Amen? The shepherds chose to believe. Their faith was revealed in their words. They said, let's go and see if these things are true. You see, to some of you unbelieving people in here today, by faith, you need to step out and see if God's promises are true. Because you're never going to know by not stepping out. Why is he going to give you something you don't believe in him? Huh? If you don't believe and have faith in him, why is he going to bless you? He loves you. But you want him to bless you without you stepping out and doing anything. They told me nothing from nothing leaves nothing. So if you're going to do nothing, you're going to get nothing. You won't step out on faith. These shepherds stepped out on faith. They chose to believe. They said, let's go and see if these things are true. I say to you today, let go, let God come and see if these things are true. Amen? You can get all sentimental you want about Christmas, and you can have that warm, fuzzy feeling. You got the tree, and you got the presents at home. You got heat, you got lights, you got electricity, you got all those things going on. Get all warm and fuzzy about it. But that's not the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas is that the Savior of the world came, that the Savior was born, that God came down in human form to save me and you. Amen? Listen to the advancement that they enjoyed. The shepherds heard the invitation. They responded. And when they had seen it, when they had seen Christ in the manger, they went about telling everybody they knew about this deity, this baby in swaddling clothes that was kind of told to them by an angel, a representative of the Lord, but more importantly than that, that the Christ, the Messiah that we've been waiting for centuries is here now. On their way back, do you know that they became the first evangelist? Come on, somebody. They became the first evangelist going back from where they had seen Christ to going back telling everybody what they had seen. Amen? We have to be like those people. They were so excited, so charged, so fired up about meeting Christ in the manger that they went back and they told everybody because their life had changed forever. Don't you know when you meet Christ and your life has changed forever, you're supposed to be so excited that you're telling everybody that you know. People don't have to look at you and say, you, they'd see it all over your whole body. They'd see it in your personality. They see it in your countenance. They see it in your speech. They see it in the way you walk. They see it in the way you talk. They see it in the way you handle things. They see it in the way that you react to negative things. They say, what's wrong with you? Nothing but I got Jesus Christ in my life. The reconciliation has begun. Oh, hallelujah. Meeting him is supposed to fill our soul with praise and glory. The verse 20 says that the shepherds had seen such wondrous sights, had to go back to the ordinary. Don't you know that after you meet Christ and he changes your life and all of these wonderful, beautiful things are happening in this relationship, that you got to go back to the ordinary? What's the ordinary? The ordinary is that same old negative attitude that you're going to get from everybody else. That same old people that's been hating on you for such a long time. The same old people that's been trying to do you wrong. You're going to go back to the ordinary. It says the shepherds went back to the ordinary. But instead of entertaining the negative, they were preaching the positive. They were talking about the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ changing their life. The scripture continues that is true for each year, for the celebration of Christmas is a special time. But when the fun and the excitement is over, we have to return to our jobs and our responsibilities. But the shepherds returned so full of what had happened in their lives, they could not keep themselves from sharing the good news with everybody they came in contact with. They returned to the ordinary activities of their life, but their life was never the same. So when the shepherd met the shepherd, their lives changed. I got news for each and every one of you today. Each one of us is a shepherd. If you got somebody to teach and instruct, say hallelujah. If you got somebody depending on you for direction, say amen. If you got somebody that sometimes you got to pry to get them to move over a little bit so they can keep going straight, somebody say hallelujah again. That is the job of a shepherd. And I tell you, the job of a shepherd is a lonely job. But somebody's got to do it, and God chooses you. And he 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 chooses you. Do you know what keeps shepherds going? Hope. Hope. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. You're not going to get strengthened by the enemy. He's going to try to beat you down every single day. Every time you turn around, he's trying to challenge you and challenge you and challenge you. But you have to have hope in Jesus Christ. So you got hope on this Christmas, because on that day, the baby called Christ the Lord was born. Reconciliation to Christ, to God, is there. There are times in our lives that we're going to become angry, we're going to become tired, we're going to become weary. But when we get to those points, that baby that was born, that baby that's not just an ordinary baby, will inject hope into our lives. Let us stand.